As far as announcements go, we have coming up this week adult catechism as usual at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, Legion of Mary as usual at 7:30 p.m. And so the visitors are welcome to come to Legion of Mary if you'd like to pop in and see what it's all about, or even just join on the spot, you know, that's fine. Then there's also the Third Order of St. Francis, Thursday, 7 p.m., and the Eucharistic Crusaders, Thursday at 3:20. So we have coming up... we have a bake sale, so please help support the Children of Mary today. They are holding a bake sale after each Mass. The proceeds will go to the Children of Mary. And so if you want to help them out by buying their things, that's excellent. And even if maybe you have more money than baked goods that you can eat, feel free to drop them by the sacristy or the priory. They'll be received gratefully. The Agios ceremony will be today as well. The Legion of Mary invites all legionaries, both active and auxiliary, to the annual Agios ceremony this afternoon. Refreshments will be served beforehand at the boys' school at 3 p.m., followed by prayers in the church at 5 p.m., including rosary and benediction. So the Eucharistic Crusade, there'll be the meeting. It'll be for the boys and the girls on Thursday, the 19th of May at 3:20 p.m. Children assemble in the front car park. There'll be games and donuts in honor of St. Paschal Baylin, the patron saint of the Eucharistic Crusade. Remember to bring your treasure chart and a coin donation. Eucharistic Crusaders are encouraged to attend Mass on the feast of St. Paschal Baylin, Tuesday, May the 17th. So the meeting is on Thursday the 19th, but the feast of St. Paschal Baylin is on the 17th. So you're still encouraged to go to that Mass on his feast day, receive the special graces attached to your going. Each year we hire a pipe band for the St. Anthony's procession, and each year we give a $500 donation. So if anyone or any small business within the parish would like to contribute towards this cost, it would be most appreciated. We'll be starting a new set of 9 weeks of prayers for Our Lady of Perpetual Succor for the period starting Saturday, the 21st of May, and ending on Saturday, the 16th of July. So petitions may be written on the forms provided and placed in the box at the back of the church. Also, there is now a minimum knowledge for confirmation sheet for when you're preparing for confirmation, either your children or maybe even yourself. They're stacked up in the back, so you'll find those there. One of our bishops will be visiting New Zealand to administer the sacrament of confirmation, most likely sometime between July or August. We haven't been given a definite date yet. But the enrollment forms are in the back, and they need to be returned by the 15th of June. There will be some Monday night preparation classes closer to the date, but to begin with, there's that confirmation minimum knowledge sheet, so please have a study of that. Also, there will be a parish potluck luncheon on the 29th of May as a combined welcome for Father McNamara, who arrived in Lent as Lent was beginning, and also for Father Stevens, who will hopefully, please keep in your prayers, have recently arrived. Good. The anger of man worketh not the justice of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I'd like to speak about something that we find in today's gospel, and in particular, that's anger. We have our Lord saying, be slow to anger. We have it's something that we generally think of as something completely bad. Anger is bad. I need to not be angry. You shouldn't get angry. Nobody should be angry. And yet, and we read even in Scripture, be not a friend to an angry man, and do not walk with the furious man. It also says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so an angry man stirs up strife. And yet, on the other hand, anger is something that we predicate of God. We call God angry. We have God the Father. We know that he's the Father of mercies, and yet at the same time, he's definitely the God of punishments as well. We read in Scripture, fiercely the anger of the Lord burns against us. Also in Psalms, who can resist thee so terrible and sudden in thy rage? We have again in Psalms, God's anger against them reached its height, and he slew their lordliest. Even speaking of the Son himself, we know that our Lord is the Lamb who's meek, who's humble, who goes to his death willingly, who's welcoming to sinners, and to such a degree merciful that the Pharisees and many of the people at his time were scandalized by his mercy and his patience, and yet even he didn't hesitate to berate the Pharisees with this sevenfold woe. He would even make a whip of cords and physically drive the money changers out of the temple. We have, even in today's gospel, speaking of the Holy Ghost, we know the Holy Ghost is the Paraclete. He's our intercessor with God. He's called the Divine Consoler. And yet, again, in today's gospel, our Lord says that he will come to convict the world of sin, of justice, and of judgment. So I'd just like to talk a bit about what is anger. What is anger? We're going to find out there's anger, the passion, there's anger, the sin. And we'll look a bit at the different kinds of anger and the evil effects of anger. So firstly, anger as a passion. So anger is something, it's a feeling, it's a passion. It's something that wells up in our soul. And in that way, it's not something that's bad in itself. If anger were something that was bad in itself, we could never predicate it of God. It'd be blasphemous to do so. It's true that God doesn't get angry in the same way that we ourselves get angry. But either way, if it were something bad in itself, it would be, again, almost blasphemous to even make the analogy. We don't call God sinful. And if anger was always and only a sin, if it was something essentially evil, then we could never predicate it of God. But anger is firstly a passion. It's a feeling. And insofar as it's a passion or feeling, it's neither good nor bad in itself. Anger in itself is, in a sense, kind of amoral. It's not something, as a passion, it's not something that we choose, but really something that happens to us. And that's with the passions in general. We even speak about the passions in that way. It made me sad. It made me angry. The passions, at least in the first initial stirring up on our soul, is something that happens to us, something that's not entirely in our control. In fact, that's why we call our Lord's passion his passion, because it was something that happened to him. And so the same thing with our passions. Our feelings are something that well up in our soul. And so as a passion, it's something good given to us by God for a particular reason. It's given to us by God to help us resist something that's unjust, to help us to react against some present evil. St. Thomas Aquinas says that anger, it's that inclination to retaliate, or it's that inclination that moves us to seek a kind of revenge, but to act against some evil. And as such, as a passion, it's given to us as a tool. And depending on how we use it, well, then it becomes a sin. So anger becomes a sin when it's something that's out of proportion. And when we sort of let our anger, this desire to retaliate, move us in an entirely disordered way, when our reaction is not in proportion at all to the thing that's happened, we become offended, or maybe somebody has done something wrong, and then we allow our anger to be our sole motivation, and we just lash out, and our reaction or our punishment, whatever it is, becomes just entirely out of proportion. It's not proportion to the thing itself, to the actual offense against us. It becomes a sin when we choose to let it sort of smolder on the inside. It becomes a source of rash judgments, uncharitable, evil thoughts or desires. And it's a sin when it produces uncharitable words and rash judgments. So when we allow anger to be that dominating motive of our action, then it becomes a sin. Anger should never guide us, but it's something that should be guided. It's true, we have to deal with what St. Thomas Aquinas calls present evils. We have to reprimand children, perhaps we have to speak out against something evil, we have to react against some kind of injustice. Maybe in the workplace we have to report a coworker for some kind of breach, some kind of injury. But it should never be our anger that's that motivating principle. We should ask ourselves, am I doing this because I'm angry? Or am I doing this with anger? Yes, I'm angry, but that's not why I'm reacting. That's not why I'm punishing. That's not why I'm correcting. And that requires a real attention and a real purification of our intentions, where we become angry, we're going to react, and we want to have just at least a moment of directing ourselves and saying, yes, I'm angry, yes, I'm upset, but the reason I'm reacting is because there's some present evil, there's something that needs to be corrected, and I'm going to correct, corrected this thing for its own sake. And so we want to try to examine a bit our own souls and see, are we angry? How does our anger manifest itself? And before we examine our souls and kind of decide, well, no, I don't think I get angry. I'm not an angry person. It's good to remind ourselves that there are different kinds of anger. Anger isn't always this sort of mushroom cloud, sirens going off sort of anger that we think about. But anger can be cold. Anger can be silent. Anger can be indirect. Anger can be petty. There's all these different kinds of anger. And if anger is the inclination to retaliate, then we can say sins of anger are just as varied as there are ways to retaliate. So they're very often, the anger that we think about is something that's direct. It's our retaliation is something that's biting and scathing and obvious. We become angry and we just directly retaliate against this person who's offended us, against this thing that's happened. But sometimes our anger is something that is indirect. We don't, maybe because we're a child and we can't get angry at something that our parents has told us, maybe we just don't want to address the thing that's made us mad with our neighbor, but we allow our retaliation and our anger to seep out indirectly. We don't address the problem, but we let that anger kind of infest everything else that we do. We do everything else with a short temper. We're always looking for some way to seek our revenge. Maybe it's not even conscious. Maybe it's just this passion of anger that we're allowing to, again, seep in and affect everything else that we do. We're overcritical over small things, or we react when we shouldn't be reacting, and it has nothing to do with the actual thing that we're upset about. But it's still this retaliation and a kind of indirect sin of anger. And then when it's not something that's just unconscious, but it's something that we do on purpose, we're sort of grasping for little pieces of retaliation, it becomes a kind of petty revenge. We say, I can't react against this thing. I would if I could, but I'm going to get what's mine in all of these other small little things. I'm going to make this person's life hard. I'm going to say something behind their back. I'm going to not do things that they ask me to do. And so it's a kind of petty vengeance that we're just seeking and grasping for these little ways to express our anger. But even we can be guilty of the sin of anger by participation. If we stir somebody up to be angry because maybe we think it's funny or because, I don't know why, we stir somebody up to be angry, we're guilty of that other person's anger. Sometimes we might even be doubly guilty of the sin of anger when we stir somebody up to anger out of revenge for them having made us angry. We become mad because they've done something to us, and we want to keep the moral high ground by making them mad as well. And so we stir them up to anger, and in that way we're doubly guilty of anger. We're guilty of our own anger, we're guilty of the anger that we've stirred this other person up to. So it's a kind of anger by participation. There's quick anger, slow anger, there's hot anger, cold anger. Sometimes it doesn't move us to do something, but it just makes us passive aggressive, and it's what we don't say. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. You're still angry. It's still a kind of sin of anger. We're allowing our passions to direct us in our relations with our neighbor because we've been upset. All of them are still forms of anger. They're still forms of retaliation. And so anger is something that when we allow it to rule in our soul, when we allow ourselves to indulge in it, to indulge in a petty vengeance or whatever form of anger, it's something that we do to the detriment of our own soul. It's not just something that hurts our neighbor, but it's something which harms our own soul. It's something that hinders our faith. So we know that faith helps our reason. Whenever we are judging how to act good, how to act right, what we do is we pause and we reflect, okay, this is what I want to do, but what is God commanding me to do? And so faith, the way that it directs our actions in a moral way, is through our reason. We have to think about the principles of faith and then apply them to our given situation. But when we give ourselves into anger, we allow the passion of anger to kind of overwhelm us, it clouds our reason. And so if it gets in the way of our judgment, gets in the way of our reason, then it also gets in the way of our faith. Anger is something that hinders our faith. Our anger, when we let it get the best of us, it also hinders the action of the Holy Ghost within us. We know that we're supposed to live by virtues, but we're also supposed to open ourselves up to the action of the Holy Ghost by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So where there are times when we need that extra help of God, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost that we're given in our baptism, that are given a kind of increase in our confirmation, are that little handle on us that God has, where he's able to step in and guide us subtly and help us to do the right thing in a given situation. And we see particularly in the example of St. James and John, when their anger clouds that action of the Holy Ghost in their soul. It's an example that I bring up for a number of things because I think it's a great example. But if you remember when our Lord was trying to pass through part of Samaria and he wasn't allowed through, and Saints James and John, these sons of thunder, they become mad. And they say, "Lord, if you want, we can just pray and have this place flattened with fire raining down from the sky." And on the one hand, it's a great kind of motivation, I think. They had a real sense of justice. They had a real sense of faith. They believed that all they had to do was pray and this place was going to be up in flames. They had a real charity in their souls. They loved our Lord. And so when they saw him offended and rejected, they themselves were wounded. And yet our Lord, he says, "You know not by what spirit you act." You're acting in the wrong spirit. In other words, it's not the Holy Ghost that is directing you. It's a very human spirit. And we can do the exact same thing. When we become angry, we don't allow room for that discerning wisdom or knowledge and these helps of the Holy Ghost to come in and direct our actions. Instead, we can even justify our anger and retaliation by using our virtues. "Well, this is justice. This is just truth. And I have to fight for this thing. And so I'm going to get out my 2x4, spiritual 2x4, and whack my neighbor over the head with it." We can even justify retaliation because we've completely cut off this help of the Holy Ghost in difficult situations. Anger, it makes it difficult, the action of the Holy Ghost in us. Anger is something that separates us from imitating our Lord. It makes us unlike our Lord. Again, the sin of anger. When we were not talking about just the passion of anger, we're talking about the sin of anger, when we let it be our dominating motive. Anger, it wants retaliation, it wants revenge, and so it plans and it schemes. Sometimes it's a reaction, sometimes it's a cold, scheming kind of revenge, and we give our thoughts to thoughts of destruction. When our Lord says, "I think thoughts of peace." The great plan, God began scheming as soon as man fell from grace, as soon as Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But it wasn't a scheme of revenge, it was a scheme of redemption. As soon as he had been offended, he immediately began thinking on, it was from all eternity, but if we are speaking in a human way, he immediately began thinking on how to repair it, how to draw back to him this entire human race that had become his enemy. Whereas when we allow ourselves to just dwell on and smolder our anger in our soul, again, our thoughts aren't thoughts of peace, our thoughts aren't thoughts of reconciliation and of sacrificing ourselves even for the sake of overcoming some offense, but instead of just retaliation and acting out against our neighbor. It makes it very much unlike Christ. There, the spiritual writers also say that anger makes us unfit to govern. So when we become angry, when we allow it to be a dominating passion, we're not able to control ourselves. And yet somebody who has to guide and direct and, let's say, control others has to first and foremost have that control of themselves, because they guide others by their own example, but because they can't hope to guide others well, again, if they can't even guide themselves. We can say that even anger is something which is self-destructive. There's St. Basil. He says, "Those things which blow up violently receive more harm than they inflict, since they are shattered by those things against which they crash." And it's true. There are those times where we lose our cool. We allow ourselves to get angry. And I think very often the feeling that we have, even more than, let's say, remorse, is just complete embarrassment. Like,
I can't believe I let myself act like that. It was ridiculous. Yes, I was justified, but I looked like a fool. You know, if we were to go back and watch the instant replay, we'd probably be just cringing in our skin. But because, it's something which lowers us and brings us down. It makes us act not with our passions, but subservient to our passions. It's that lower part of ourselves that we begin to serve. And so we want to try to have that balance in our soul. On the one hand, not being cowardly, unable to react against some evil that's out there, not just ignoring problems, because we don't combat anger by just ignoring problems and the things that make us angry, but we have to try to, if and when it's necessary, proportion it. Let it something that we have be something that we have in hand, not something that has us in hand. We're told by our Lord, be angry and sin not. And so this is a kind of anger that has to be proportioned to reason. It has to be proportionate. It has to have a pure motivation, a good motivation. It's something that needs to be reflected on and weighed up against our faith. We might sort of echo the words of the apostles when our Lord was telling them all the conditions for marriage. And they said, Lord, maybe it's just better not to be married. Well, we might say, maybe it's just better not to be angry. I mean, my anger has to be proportionate, if it has to be something in hand, if it has to be something that I need to wield carefully, then maybe it's just better not to be angry. True, maybe it is. I mean, our goal can simply be to not allow ourselves to act in anger. But at the same time, we can't always just be free from anger. We can't just flip off a switch and decide to be just a cold fish. Anger wells up, and so we have to be practiced in either cooling the fires or directing it in a way that is actually good, in a way that's proportionate, in a way that it's according to our faith. And that's of course what our Lord says, be angry and sin not. The church and our Lord aren't unrealistic. They don't say, don't be angry. You know, it's a passion given to us by God. It's something that we can't entirely control, but it's be angry and sin not. And so even when we do have to retaliate and reprimand, we want to make sure that it's, again, done with that pure motivation in a proportionate sort of way. And so it's not something easy to do, but it's something that we do have to practice those two virtues that help us to overcome our anger, which are meekness and clemency. And then I guess that would be another sermon in itself to talk about meekness and clemency. But regardless, what we want to do when we get angry is to try to debrief ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we become angry at something and we retaliate, then we go to confession and we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, I was angry. The end. But in all reality, we don't really know where our anger went wrong. Was it because it was out of proportion? Was it over something that I shouldn't have gotten angry over? Was it the way that I reacted? We don't want to dissect the moment, because if we think on it, it's just going to make us angry again. But in a sense, we have to. We have to apply reason to our reaction, reason to our anger, because whenever we get angry, we feel justified in some proportion. I was justified. It was their fault. They did this first. Or it was something that really did injure me. That was unjust. That was uncharitable. They hurt my reputation. And all of it's true. And so we feel justified in some way on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, we know that we've sinned. And if we allow ourselves to just go on in our life with those two things being clouded, not knowing where we sinned, but feeling justified in our anger, then when the exact same situation comes up, we're going to react in the exact same way. And so it can be good when it comes to conquering our anger to try to dissect those moments of anger, to sort of have an interior debriefing and saying, what was the issue here? Was it that I just reacted too much? Was it that it's something that I just shouldn't have gotten angry over? I should have just, you know, let it slide. Or was it because maybe I didn't address things in the past and I allowed it to blow up? And so we want to try to figure out, where did I go wrong? Was it my reaction? Was it my words? How do I then conquer that anger? So we want to keep those things in mind and always try to gain that handle on ourself, that control over our soul, knowing that the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Ghost. Amen.